Today we are starting Advent, and as we do that, we're going to do that in the book of Isaiah. Some of you who've been around Clay Church know that we've been doing essentially a book a month, 12 books in 12 months this year, and we've come to our last book, which is Isaiah. I hope for those that have been studying along this year in circles or Bible study groups that you found it helpful to stay with a book, and that we've gotten to know 12 books of the Bible a little bit better. And Isaiah is really kind of a perfect place to close 12 books in 12 months because it's kind of perfect for the season of Advent. Would you pray with me? Lord, take my lips this day and speak through them. And take our minds and think through them. And Lord, take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To get us started today, can I invite our FaithWorks kiddos that are here with us today, kindergarten through fifth graders, want to come up and join me up here on the steps today. We are going to talk a little bit about Advent and a little bit about Isaiah and a little bit about cheesecake. Curious how those things fit together? All right, so a question for those of you. We got some word coming. Find a spot anywhere on the stairs. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving meal? Did everybody eat some good food at Thanksgiving? How many of you had a really good dessert at Thanksgiving? How many of you, dessert is the favorite part of your meal? All right, lots of hands up. Not everybody. Okay, good. All right, how many people like cheesecake? Would you raise your hands? All right, some cheesecake fans here. And how many of you have eaten at the Cheesecake Factory? Has anybody eaten at the Cheesecake Factory? How about anybody out there? Anybody eating at the Cheesecake Factory? Oh yeah, a few hands. So some people. The Cheesecake Factory is one of my favorite restaurants because I love cheesecake. But see, there's this thing that happens when I go to the Cheesecake Factory to eat. When you go to the Cheesecake Factory, it's always really busy because lots of people like cheesecake, and you have to wait. Anybody here like waiting for a table when you're hungry? All right, one person likes waiting. Oh, a couple. All right. Well, I wish I was that way, but I don't wait well. And so you have to wait, and then you finally get to the table, and you're really hungry, and you look at the menu, and there are appetizers, and they look really good. So when you're at the Cheesecake Factory, and you're with friends and family, so you order an appetizer, and then you eat the appetizer, and then they usually bring bread, and I don't know if you're like me, but hopefully your parents don't let you, but I drink like two sodas and then a third soda while I'm waiting. And then you order your food, and all of the things look so good, and you order it, and they bring these humongous portions, like these huge bowls of pasta or whatever it is he ordered. And then you start eating all of that, and then they finally come, and Will is licking his lips here. He's like, this is making me hungry. And then they bring the dessert menu, and can you guess what happens to me when I'm at the Cheesecake Factory? I do, but I'm full. Like all of that eating, and I knew the best thing was cheesecake, but I have filled myself up with all those other things. And the appetizer, it was kind of good, but it's not as good as cheesecake. You're right, I could take it to go. And I eat my meal, but it's not as good as the cheesecake. So then I get to the end and I'm all full. And you know what? I could order cheesecake and take it to go and then wait for my stomach to be empty the next day and eat it the next day, right? I could do that. But do you know what? When something's really that good, I don't want to wait. So I'm not very good at waiting either. And so then I eat some cheesecake, and I think that it's going to slide down around the edges. And then I get sick because I've eaten too much. It kind of ruins the whole experience. Has anybody ever eaten too much and kind of just ruined it? Yeah, at Thanksgiving? Yeah. And then your stomach hurts, and it's just not good, right? So I every time I go to the Cheesecake Factory, I learn two very important lessons. Number one, don't eat too much, right? Sometimes I have to not fill myself with the things that I think I want so that I can fill myself with the very best thing. The things I know I want, yeah. And the second thing is, I learned when I'm at the Cheesecake Factory, is sometimes I have to wait for a really good thing. right? Mm-hmm. Well, today we're talking about Advent, and I thought Advent is a time when we think about those two things. We think about what we put into our lives, and we think about waiting. And so I'm going to need some help. So let's see. You're going to hold God in faith for me, and can you hold a toy there? And the toy here, and you'll hold playing over there, and somebody want to hold school?
I will.
You're like, no, I don't want to hold school. Okay, school. All right, and we'll hand friends over here. So I want you to think, so this is our lives, right? So, and we're going to think about what it is that we would, and what it is and how we put it into our lives. So I don't know about you, but of all these things, I really love toys. Anybody love toys? So let's put the toys in first. Because, yeah, favorite toys, let's put our favorite toys in. Okay, good, good. And then if we've got toys, how many of you like time to play? Anybody like to fill your life with playtime? Yep, okay, good. Who has playing? All right, let's put playing in there. All right, good, good. And you know what? We have to go to school, so we probably better go to school now. Yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, our parents make us do that. Friends. Who has friends? So it's good to have friends, so we'll grab some friends to play with. Okay, and then next we're going to put God and faith in our lives. Uh-oh. It doesn't really fit, does it? Because we've kind of filled up our lives with other things, right? And do you remember what I learned at the Cheesecake Factory? Sometimes we have to empty ourselves of things that aren't really important so that we can make room for what's most important in our lives, like cheesecake. Yeah. So you know what? When I don't have God in my life, sometimes I end up picking friends that lead me to do bad things, or it's sort of easy to fall in with friends that aren't going to be there for me when things are really tough. So we're going to take friends out for a minute. And I love toys, but we probably can live with some fewer toys. And I love playtime, but let's take that out for a minute. Maybe we can find room later for that. And we're going to take school out for right now. We're just gonna empty our lives, and then. What's really important in our lives? Is God really important in our lives? Yeah. So let's put God in first.
And faith.
And faith, right? God and faith in first. And now look in there. What do you see?
One blue dot.
Yeah, a blue dot. But really, really nothing, right? It's empty? Yeah, because when we put God in faith, it doesn't mean we can't have those other things. It just means we've put in first what's most important in our lives, so there's room for it, right? And now God can help us to find really good friends that'll love us no matter what, and that will help us make good decisions and hold us accountable. And now there's we probably still have to go to school, right? We got to go to school. Yep. And there's room for playing, right? And time for playing and place for toys, right? If we put God in first, it's not that there isn't room for the other things. It's that we've made room for God and faith in our lives. So Advent is the time leading up to Christmas. It's this whole month of December until the 25th. How many of you are really excited about Christmas? Yep. But right, we have to wait. And one of the things that we're supposed to do while we wait is prepare and make room for Jesus in our lives.
Yes.
And that might mean that in this season, we have to pause and empty out some time doing other things so we have time to read our Bible or time to put God in our lives.
Or
we might have to wait until friends come over, right? We might have to wait, and we might have to make some room. And that's what Isaiah talks about. He's going to talk that sometimes we fill ourselves up with all the stuff we don't need, and what we really need to do is empty ourselves up of that and make room for the most important thing. And so I'm going to share some more about Isaiah with everybody in just a minute, and we're going to share a bottom line in a little while, so can you all listen for that? And say it with us when it's time to do that. But while you wait for that, I have a little treat. Miss Karen is going to help me, and we are going to give you, because I don't know about you, but when I talk about cheesecake, it kind of makes me want to eat cheesecake. So we have bites of cheesecake, or if you can't have gluten, we have brownie bites for you as well. So I'm going to invite each of you to take a piece of cheesecake or a brownie. And you can take it back. You need to ask your parents for permission first, okay? And if they say wait, we want to listen to mom and dad, okay? But it's okay with me if you eat it in the sanctuary and eat it here. So grab one and grab a napkin. And then you can go back to your seats. Want cheesecake or brownie? Okay. following me, didn't you? All right. Perfect. I'd sit back in there. For the rest of you, just a note, you just had big Thanksgiving meals, and for your health, we're not distributing cheesecake. So if you think later that you're going to be running around and running off energy like they are, feel free to come up, and you can have one after you can have one after worship today. Sometimes we need to empty ourselves of the things that aren't really important to make room for God and what matters most. Isaiah writes to the people of God, to Israel. And Isaiah writes all kinds of things to them, and you'll probably be glad we're not going to cover it all today. But at the heart of what Isaiah says, he says, you've tried to fill your longing for peace and prosperity and joy with political power, think King David. You've tried to fill it with wisdom, think King Solomon. You've tried to fill it with idols, think about most of the kings that come after them. You've tried to fill your lives with prosperity and money and wealth. You've tried to fill your lives in all kinds of other ways. And all of those have led to disaster and destruction and emptiness. None of those have filled the deepest longings in your lives. And he says, Happy Advent. Well, Isaiah doesn't say Happy Advent. But right, what Isaiah is doing is he's saying to prepare yourselves for a time to come. You see, the prophets in the Old Testament, they speak. We sometimes confuse prophets and we think they foretell the future or they predict the future. The prophets in the Old Testament, they speak God's word, God's truth to the people. Right? They tell people what God has to say to them. And so Isaiah says, you've filled yourselves with all these things except for me and my love. The prophets also speak to the future in that they speak of God's hope for the future. And so Isaiah says, yes, you've led yourselves down this path of destruction, and there will be consequences for that path. But God gives you a future filled with hope. And this is what Isaiah says. Today we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 35. It says, the desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. If you read carefully through those verses, you'll notice this. God shows up in the emptiness. Isaiah says you may be feeling empty and barren and struggling now, but Isaiah says God is going to show up in the emptiness. God is going to show up in the dry places and in the wilderness of your lives. God is going to show up for the feeble and the lame and the blind. God shows up in the empty places. Sometimes we need to be empty of the things we think are important. Sometimes we just need to feel empty to realize our need for God and what is most important. About 12 years ago, Cheryl and I had an opportunity to visit Africa. We went to Eldoret, Kenya, to a project there called the IU Project. They've partnered with the Moi Teaching Hospital there. We took some youth from the church, and we had an opportunity to travel around. Our Noah was 2 years old at the time, and I'm not sure my mom thought it was a great idea, but we left Noah with Grandma and Grandma while we traveled. And I think we'd been there several days, maybe even almost a week, and we were really missing Noah, and we'd had email correspondence, so we knew he was okay, but we were just missing him. And then one day we visited this orphanage just outside of Eldoret. And Cheryl and I both had a chance to hold this little guy that you see in the picture, Ben. Ben was inflicted with AIDS, and they didn't know if he was going to make it. Ben was 2 years old, the same age as Noah. And in that moment, my heart just burst open. And not only did it burst open, but I just felt this incredible pain of holding on to this two-year-old, holding this two-year-old in my arms and thinking, how unfair is our world? That this two-year-old in Africa was born into poverty and nothing, and even now it's going to be such a tough road ahead for him to even live, let alone have a chance at sustenance in his life, while my two-year-old is at home with Grandma and Grandma and probably getting new toys every day. My heart broke as I thought about this young child and living in what were good conditions in Africa, but then thinking that at my house there were more toys collectively for our one two-year-old at the time than the entire orphanage had. A couple of days later, we were having some devotion time with our group, and one of the youth in our group said during this time, I thought we were going to bring Jesus to the people here. And I've realized they have more faith than I do. We talked about it. And we reminded this young man in our group that really all along we'd said, it's a cultural mission. It's an opportunity for us to see what followers of Jesus are doing here in Kenya to spread the love of Jesus to others and to ask how we as followers of Jesus in the West can help and support them and help them to do that in the ways that work here. But we also talked and we all realized he was right. That when you aren't sure where your next meal is going to come from, and you put all of your dependence on God for food on your table the next day, you're bound to have a deeper appreciation for God as the source of all blessings than those who have food on their table and don't even have to think about it day in and day out. When you aren't sure how you're going to survive tomorrow because you're living in the slums of Kenya or Eldoret, and you put all of your faith as a follower of Jesus and God's provision and the fact that there is a Christian community that's supporting you day in and day out when you know you can't make it on your own, you tend to have a deeper appreciation of the church and the community that has come together to save lives than when you think you can do it on your own. Sometimes We need to be empty of the things that don't really matter. Empty of the things that don't really matter to find room in our lives for God and the things that matter most. This Advent season, some of you may be walking into the season and feeling an intense emptiness. Maybe it's a loss in your life. Maybe it's broken relationships. Maybe you just can't find a way to generate any joy in this, what's supposed to, ever the world says is supposed to be a happy holiday season. Isaiah has good news. Isaiah says God is going to show up in the dry places and the empty places and the places of grief and suffering. And you don't have to enter into the season with the joy the world claims you need to have. Just enter into the season with a heart open and looking for what God's going to do. And to those of us going into this season full to overflowing in life, some of us so full that the season ahead feels stressful and we're not sure how to manage all of the parties and the family pieces and the decorating and all those things, Isaiah has a message for us as well, which is maybe we need to empty ourselves of the things that don't really matter to make room for the things that matter most. Maybe we need to empty some time. As busy as we feel like we are, maybe we need to empty some time to fill with God or God's word. Maybe we need to empty ourselves of some priorities that we keep thinking are important but aren't as important as God or family or church. Sometimes you need to empty yourself. Instead of rushing to fill that longing, sometimes we need to empty ourselves and sit in the emptiness and wait and watch for God to show up, because God promises that God will be there. Sometimes we need to empty ourselves of things that don't really matter to make room for God and what matters most. Would you say these words with me? It's our bottom line for today. Join me in these words on the screen. Sometimes we need to empty ourselves of things that don't really matter to make room for God and what matters most.